My personal feeling in hearing a Ziger Kanchel teaching on the Shenpa was that it was very revolutionary in my practice and extremely helpful. And I think many of you will find the same. That it sort of focuses where to work. And what's powerful is it is so close to the root of the whole thing. Like the seed or the beginning, that which gives birth to the whole catastrophe. And so in the teachings of the Buddha, when there's a lot of reference to that, we always work with our mind as a sort of way to dissolve the root of suffering. This is what's really being talked about. Because with Shenpa, as you can see, it isn't so much the content that we're working with. Therapy works with that, but meditation works with the root. You know, I always think that the teachings on multiple lifetimes are interesting in this regard, that it's in this lifetime it was this particular parent or person who harmed you. And it's helpful to have that accessible to you in terms of healing. But on the other hand, possibly this is an ancient wound that goes way, way back, lifetime after lifetime, and that you've been carrying this Shenpa tendency from lifetime to lifetime, and it keeps giving birth to a particular movie scenario. So I don't know if you buy this kind of thinking, but it's somewhat helpful because it inspires you to think, in this very lifetime, I could change the movie so that the same things don't keep happening to me now, such as always getting with another abusive partner. And that if it is true that I'll be born again, it doesn't have to be born into a nightmare. It does seem like until you've solved it, the same things keep coming back to trigger it. So however you want to look at that, I think the most helpful thing is to look at it as you keep getting another chance rather than you just keep getting another kick in the side of the head, you know. So I think once you have this, if it resonates with you, and you start practicing with it in your meditation and in your daily life, and your willingness grows to learn to stay, which takes courage, then what really starts to happen is you start asking the right questions. How to learn to stay is basically your question. How to learn to see. How to be gentle, how to find space, how to find warmth, how to find things that will allow you to stay when it's really jumpy. How long should I stay? It's a good question. And it's different every time. But you keep coming back and you keep doing it over and over and over and you train in learning to stay. This is a good use of the rest of your life. Indeed, it is a good, excellent, joyful use of the rest of your life instead of getting better and better at avoiding. Learn to accept the present moment as if you had invited it and work with it instead of against it, making it your ally rather than your enemy. So really this is an uncovering process. I've always been taught that way and I've always found it inspiring that what we need, the wisdom and strength, the confidence in our Buddha nature, our awakened heart and mind, is here, now, always. And we're uncovering it. We're making it available to us. But we're not inventing it new or importing it from somewhere else or something like this. It's here. And that's why you have these moments of insight when things just naturally open up and so forth. Because it's here. That's why you have the sense of being in a fog and then these clouds parting. But it's here, you know. No one else can give it to you. People will support you and help you as they have supported and helped me and continue to do so with teachings, with practices, but you do it yourself. You do it yourself. In my case, I'm trained in a tradition and a lineage where devotion to teachers is highly praised as a method of connecting with the heart and the warmth, and it undercuts arrogance because you feel like someone gave their or is giving their whole being to help you connect with what their teachers have helped them connect with. And in that way, you're part of a lineage, you see. But on the other hand, it's never taught that you have to depend on the teacher. The teacher's role is to wean you from them and wean you from dependency altogether and to develop confidence in your own nature, own true nature. And that's really who those teachers are. They are wisdom resonating with wisdom. Your wisdom resonating with theirs. If you listen to their teachings and practice what they teach, that's like being put in the same fireplace, to use the analogy, and there's no way that you're not going to start burning too. In other words, you're not just going to say like a unburning log next to them so you can keep getting a little warmth from somebody else. It isn't like that. It's that wisdom resonates with wisdom. And it has nothing to do with their lifestyle or what they've actually done with their life. It's like, what is their state of mind? What is their heart like? That's what you're resonating with, not their lifestyle. My teacher, Chogyam Trungpa, was, I don't want to blasphemize him or something, but, you know, like my lifestyle, let's just say, is about as opposite from his as you could go. I mean, it was so outrageous that I could never model myself on him. But I did model myself on his way of being. And it was all about opening to the unknown future, basically as thrilling rather than threat.